Kate Delaney, name of the show, America Tonight. Hope you had a good one, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Yeah, it's the start of another work week, and oh, what a weekend it was. We're going to rewind and take you back to 9/11 and the 9th anniversary of remembering that horrible day in our nation's history. No matter what your point of view, I'm sure in some way you think about what happened to the nearly 3,000 people, whether those in New York, the Pentagon situation, or Shanksville, the field where the plane went down. And whether you believe there's something more sinister going on or whatever, we certainly know that lots of innocent people perished on 9/11. And what was so odd in heading into this weekend is that the focus was about the burning of the Quran and the building of mosques in a couple of different places, especially the Islamic Center in New York, which has been radioactive for the past month. So none of the focus was on the victims or their families moving forward, or what about the feel-good stories of Joe Blow, who somehow got his life together because he had to, because he had all these other children, even though his wife was slaughtered on that day. And there are a lot of those stories. So the thing that was interesting was all of the buzz over this tiny, tiny church in Gainesville, Florida, where the pastor, Pastor Terry Jones, wanted to burn some Qurans. And for a whole week, that was massive talk, what I call water cooler buzz. And we always have water cooler buzz and then some on America Tonight, right? So the water cooler buzz across the dial, because I listened to some other shows. I really listened to see what other people were talking about. And this certainly came up in some form, whether it went on and on and on, or it was just a little segment or two. But it was everywhere. It was every place I turned, this pastor was being talked about. And in the end, what's very, very interesting is the day comes and goes, and that church did not burn any Qurans. And in fact, what's interesting, and his son said this, his son said, my father's not going to end up burning any Qurans. We're not going to have a burning of Qurans here. He said that, you know, many days out to Saturday, from Saturday, which was 9/11. So it turns out that the son was right. The Florida church decided to call off the burning of the Quran, Qurans plural, because a lot of people were even sending Qurans to him. It was supposed to happen on Saturday night. And he said, we're not going to burn them today, and we're never going to burn them. And what happened was, this pastor, who suddenly got 15-plus minutes of fame, did go to New York and was trying to set up a meeting with the imam, Faisal Rauf, who's in charge of that Islamic center that's planned a couple of blocks from Ground Zero. They planned this meeting, and he says the meeting helped persuade him to halt the burning. So, you know, he kind of gave out these weird mixed messages really the day before that there was a chance he was still going to go through with it. And in the end, he didn't do it. So there was all kinds of controversy and protests. And certainly in the Muslim world outside of the U.S. borders, there was a lot of chaos that could be tied back to the announcement that these Qurans were going to be burned. But in the end, it did not happen. And even on Saturday, the New York City Police Commissioner, Ray Kelly, said that they met with Jones and they were going to keep a close tab on him. And the reason they said that is for his own safety. Because, listen, not for nothing, but he got at least, from what I understand, 250 death threats for the suggestion that he was going to burn Qurans. So enough people got to the Reverend Jones, realizing that, hey, listen, if nothing else, he's putting his family in danger besides himself. And so he decided not to do it. He refrained from doing it. And he said in the end that if he was going to try to sum it up, because everybody wanted to know why, that's always the question that looms. So he said in the end, the government sent a clear message that burning the Quran would absolutely kill or endanger U.S. troops and end up being a major recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda. So what was he doing? Because he wasn't in any sense helping any of the people that he wanted to truly help. Now, Ground Zero, the imam from, or the guy behind the building of the Islamic Center, the Cordova Initiative, says that over the weekend that he would have never picked the location if he had known now what he does. You know, what he knows now, if he had known that before, he would have never picked that spot. He didn't think that that location would stir up any anger at all. He says he would have never done it. He was on one of the Sunday shows. He was on This Week on ABC. He said, look, I'm a man of peace. I mean, the whole objective of peace work is not to do something that provokes, prods, or starts controversy. So now the question, though, becomes, there's this ongoing debate. And this is the key thing. It's what I always say to you on America Tonight. If you take nothing away from this show, if you think I'm full of BS and you hate listening to me, or you think I'm right on half of the things I say, or you just enjoy the show or you hate the show, whatever. But if you've heard the show at all, the one thing that I can tell you, my friends, is everything operates on the do-re-mi. Follow the money always, and there's your answer. So what's the debate about now? The debate is about the developers as to whether or not they can even locate the Islamic Center there. Because now they're even talking about moving it. But now the concern is, okay, so some of these developers, meaning the people who are pumping the money into it, are kind of skittish and are kind of backing off, not in supplying money to Raouf and building this center, but not having it in that spot. But now what they're worried about is almost the same thing that the Florida pastor was worried about if he had gone through with burning the Quran. Now this imam says he's worried about a backlash in the Islamic world, saying that if they don't move forward with it, that this will just strengthen the radicals in the Muslim world and help their recruitment. So it's the same thing. So it's a tale of two different sorts of threats, I guess, but coming back to the same thing. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Whoops, we said we were going to burn the Quran. Now we got to back off because it could radicalize more Muslims. It could recruit more people that will kill soldiers and bomb embassies and attack citizens. And now you have the imam in New York saying the very same thing. Ugh, okay, people are skittish. We possibly could move this. I would have never held this here if I knew there was controversy. But my God, if we don't forge ahead on this, there's also a chance that this will be a recruiting tool. What do you think, America? 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. We're going to hear some of the sound from 9/11, some of the protest voices on the flip side.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine, chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative news letters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's 3-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling 4-herb tea. The testimonials are incredible! And so are the summer specials at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you are hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications with low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions. RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
At the tail end of the hour in Ogden Ends, another hurricane. Are you hurricane weary yet? This one coming up over the Atlantic side of things, and we'll tell you what hurricane it is and how close it might come to land. Also, the latest in North Korea and what's happening with those hikers in Iran. That's all part of Odds and Ends. We're going to continue, though, with, as I said over the weekend, 9/11, which is always such a heavy day for me anyway, personally have been, you know, in the city, in the East Coast, making a living there in New York City and having to see, I mean, honestly, just the hole in the sky when I'd go to work and to see those posters of people frantically putting up the faces of their daughter, their son, their nephew, have you seen so-and-so? And you just knew there's no way. After everything that happened when all the hospitals were on high alert and there was nobody coming into the hospitals, and you saw those posters that were up in train stations, they were down by Ground Zero, and it's just something you never, ever, ever forget. So, as I mentioned at the top, when we started things off in this Hour of America Tonight, the sad part is because of all the controversies that were bubbling up, the people got lost in this. I'm sure not for the relatives. They must do something to honor the people they lost. And there were ceremonies, and there were dignitaries that went to ceremonies. But so much of the time on the airwaves was dedicated to the situation in Florida or the situation in New York with the Islamic Center and the different points of view on what's going to happen there. And I say it all boils down to the same thing, the money thing. But here's some of the voices of the protesters on all sides of this.
This country is the most tolerant country in the world. And they have to show a little tolerance to us.
We don't have to agree with Islam. We have to agree on the Constitution. Okay. The Constitution exists for the protection of all Americans. Yeah, yeah. Every single American.
How about the women's rights?
All Americans.
How about women's rights? How does that interfere with Islamic religion?
We're in America. Every woman is protected.
This is my wife. All right, so you heard that. There was a lot of voices raised, and there a lot of arguing going on, and now it's about sorting it out, especially in New York, because the Florida pastor backed off. He says he'll never burn a Quran, I guess, with all the people that he met with and the conversations he had. And plus, I think, honestly, if you were really to pull it back, he's got a family, and the threats are serious. And you can't, there's no way that he'd have to have bodyguards 24 hours a day, and the same thing for his son and anybody else in his family, for fear that there would be retribution. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam. Did you have a good weekend?
Simply excellent.
You always say that. I like that. You never get on and say, it was the worst, crappiest weekend of my life.
I always go in with a positive attitude.
I know you do. That's what's so wonderful about you.
I could say I had the world's luckiest weekend. Julie and I had a fight. I refereed, a whole bunch of lousy football games. But I don't. I mean, Julie and I, okay, we did have a slight disagreement.
Right.
Okay. The Alouettes won on Saturday, but there was a fight in the game, and one Montreal Alouette got kicked out, and one Hamilton Tiger got kicked out, and even the cheerleaders got involved because they thought it was the TV timeout. They didn't notice the fight that was going on.
Oh, that's hilarious. When the cheerleaders get involved, then it's chaos.
Oh, you know it. Okay. Today here in Canada, a whole bunch of multi-faith services were held. But as usual, there were, like a couple of people were saying, Canada is a Christian-only country. Those Muslims don't like it. They can get the you-know-what out of here. And I'm thinking, who is this person? What gives him the right to say that it is a Christian, or North America is a Christian continent? You know, because I got to tell you a story. My older brother, Steve's father, he was very good friends when he grew up elementary and high school with a Muslim. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then this is sort of like still the idea that, what they would call a WASP, white Anglo-Saxon and Protestant, and believed in Jesus, you want to burn in hell. So senior year in high school, a couple of guys came up to both my brother and his friend and said, what kind of culture you think you're going to get into? You're a Jew, you're a Muslim. They won't accept you. P.S., we jump ahead almost 40 years later. My brother owns his own accounting business, and his Muslim friend is a chief pharmacist of a hospital outside of a city in Canada, Toronto. You know, so, and I remember at the 25th, they bumped into these two guys. One of them became a minister and left little, with all the respect to people who are Christian and religious, little pamphlets about, have you ever thought about bringing Jesus into your life? One of those pamphlets?
Yeah.
So a whole bunch of Jewish people basically went up to the organizing committee and told them, either he leaves or we all do.
Mm.
So they asked them, okay, stop, you can stay. But then just before they were ready to sit down, he said, I must say a prayer, blah, blah, yada, yada. So then the organizing committee said, all right, whoa, this is not for you to spread Christianity. This is a 25th reunion. Some of these people haven't seen each other in 25 years. So chill. So,
it goes back to that whole thing again, religion and politics, right?
Right.
And so look what happens look what happens when you challenge someone, and then look, when you look ahead, you leap ahead by decades, what's happened to them and what's happened to a friend who's from a different faith completely. And,
right.
You know, that would be ignorant to say that it's North America is just a Christian continent.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Let me tell you a quick story about the day before 9/11, the day after. Like, my brother and sister-in-law were driving down to New York, and my brother went to college in New York. That's where he met my sister-in-law. And I said, what was it like? I remember asking him this like it was yesterday. Driving down, seeing the World Trade Center, and then as he was leaving, the next day after 9/11, that they weren't there, he goes, very, very eerie. Because he went to school in New York from 71 to 76, so he remembers just as the World Trade Center was being finished and just as it opened. And when he was living in Brooklyn, he said, you know how easy it was to find Manhattan? Just look for the World Trade Center, and you went that way.
That's exactly right. You know, I've said this story on the air before, but I'll tell it since you brought up the story about your family in New York. Right. I said this already. I was working in New York, and 2001, I took my mother to the U.S. Open, and
right.
The U.S. Open was the week before 9/11, and we took the train in,
right.
And you look to the left, you're coming in from New Jersey, and you look to the left, and you see the World Trade Centers,
right.
And we started to talk and said, you know, we haven't been there in a long time, we should go and have lunch at the top, you know, Windows of the World is the famous
right.
was the famous restaurant,
right.
And we talked about doing that in October, November, whenever, and then bam, poof, the next week, I have a hat that I got from the U.S. Open, and it says 2001 on it that I had gotten right before that happened, and I wear it all the time, and I think about that and think how sad that is and how that altered so many people's lives, which was my point when I was talking in the beginning, that somehow that gets lost for people because of all the controversy. Too bad that happens.
Yeah, I know. Like, where were you? You know, it's like, where were you when the first plane hit? I remember asking Julie, where were you? She goes, she was at work. She goes, where were you? I had a day off, and I didn't even know what happened until I went to my brother's house, because, like I said, they were in New York, and I turned on the TV, I went, holy bleep.
Yeah.
Called my sister, and I went, okay, how are we going to know if they're okay or not? Luckily, Steve was still here in Montreal, so he called me on my cell, and he said, don't worry, Uncle Sammy, Mom and Dad are fine. I went, okay, where are they right now? In Brooklyn. I went, oh, okay. You know.
And that's it. That's everybody wanted to know where everybody was. There was no question. Sam, we're up against it. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
All right. A big shout out to Jake Ryan. Jake is one of the guys who listens to us in our great affiliate in Emporia, Kansas. And he was talking about the fact that there were four high school students that got into a car wreck over the weekend. Two girls and one boy were killed at one of his friends, I guess, and a person that was driving was distracted by texting, and he asked that he'd like to hear some opinions on teens and wrecks and losses caused by the distraction. And Jake, we've talked about that before and just how awful that is when somebody's killed that way. And I gave statistics, and the statistics are scary, and it's not just texting, it's putting on makeup, it's eating food and dropping it and leaning over to pick up the food. It's falling asleep. And, yeah, it's getting scary out there. And I'm so sorry for the families in Emporia, Kansas, and all the people who listen to us for having had that kind of a loss. Coming up next, rock and roll.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
There's a wide range of stuff on here.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
For world-class auto detailing, use what the pros use worldwide. Sparkle Auto. At SparkleAuto.com, the products and services we deliver are as good as it gets. And the knowledge behind them, even better. We always give you our absolute best, like our large 5-foot square chamois. It's Sparkle Auto's hottest selling item, voted by our customers as the most valuable chamois. This imported chamois is made of the highest quality microfiber artificial leather, so no scratching ever. It always remains soft, gentle, and pliable, no matter how much water it soaks. envelopes up. The Sparkle Auto Chamois will not shrink or grow stiff with age or dryness. See it and buy it now for only $19.95 plus shipping at sparkleauto.com. That's sparkleauto.com. Or call toll-free 866-372-9559. Experience the best customer service and our 110% price guarantee at sparkleauto.com. Call 866-372-9559 today for good value on top-of-the-line auto detailing products from sparkleauto.com.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Can you live with minor aches and pains? Maybe. But oftentimes, those won't-go-away pains become so debilitating that we are not able to do things we used to, like go for a walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now, restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
All right, so you're going to love this next guest on America Tonight, right? Mark Bego is a best-selling author of Top Performers in the Rock and Roll Business and Show Business. How fun is that? I mean, he's probably got so many stories about everybody. He's like the opposite of Jackie Collins. He has the real scoop, you know. So he's obviously hung around some pretty interesting people. And as I said, he's been behind the scenes and released a couple of books in bookstores in 2009, like four books. And, you know, who knows? He's got an incredible amount. I think at the last count, I asked somebody to count them up for me when we were doing some research on this. And published-wise, I believe 55 is the number. Mark, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So
my pleasure.
If you go, like, to a bookstore in L.A., do they have, like, a whole section dedicated to you?
Well, some stores do. I like it that way.
I love that. So you do. You have tons of stories about all kinds of people, legendary stars in rock and roll. And I know this is a crazy question.
Yes.
But if you had to pick out your favorite of people, who would you, like, as far as rock and roll people, give me, like, your top three.
Like the people that I've done, had dealings with?
Yes.
Or that I admire in general?
No, the people you've had dealings with.
Oh, Aretha Franklin. Really, really a fascinating character. And Madonna, loved Madonna. Loved meeting Madonna. She's from my hometown of Pontiac, Michigan. And Mary Wilson of the Supremes is absolutely the best. She is wonderful. So much fun. I met her when I was 23 years old, and we've been best buddies ever since.
Yeah, and you just had a big big book party, and everybody came out of the woodwork, and I guess she was there, too. As you said, you've been best buddies for a long time, right?
She was the hostess of the party at Nick's Martini Lounge, and did we have some martinis and fun?
So Mary has a lot of stories, too, and she's not, you know, the question that always comes up about her, which you know, is, ooh, did she get burned by Diana Ross? Did she get burned by the situation with the Supremes? What would Mary say when she keeps getting that kind of, you know, people keep asking those kind of questions?
Well, in a way, she's more gracious than I am in my new book, Paperback Writer. I come out and call Diana Ross a bitch. She really was taken advantage of. I mean, that group, everyone is in love with the Supremes. They're such a beloved group and so many wonderful hits. And to watch her group taken over by Diana Ross, you know, there's no way it couldn't hurt. And she wrote about it in a couple of her books, Dream Girl, My Life is a Supreme, and Supreme Faith. And I helped her with both of those, though she had other writers working on it, too. But I was one of the collaborators. And she told a lot of stories about Diana. I also did a book with Martha Reeves of Martha and the Vandellas, and she was competition at Motown with Diana Ross as well. So she told me some tall tales about Miss Ross.
What do you think it is? Is it like when we talk about politicians' ego and power corrupts, or, hey, you know, if you slice off these people, you're going to make that much more money, and we're the star makers, and we think you're the person that we want to make into the star. Is that what happens?
It really does. You know, it's like when you watch Behind the Music on VH1, and it's like, okay, we have a group, we try to be famous, we become famous, then we have a drug problem, then we hate each other, then we aren't speaking to this one, then this one takes over the group, and it's kind of like you could take any group and just, like, change the use those circumstances and change the names.
Yeah, no kidding. Paperback Writer. In this one, because you've written so many books, what did you focus on in this time around?
Well, this time around, I got to tell some of my stories. Usually, I write biographies or help the celebrities write their autobiographies. Now, along the way, I've had all kinds of interesting stories about dealing with them. So I was able to put things in this book that I haven't been able to print in the other ones. I used to be roommates with a couple of the Village people. I used to have to chase stars down. I was run over. My hand was run over at Cher's roller disco party, and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I've toured around the world, actually, thanks many times to Mary Wilson. I've gone as her road manager, stage manager, confidant. A couple years ago, in 2008, we went to a really incredible event in Europe. She called me one day and she said, I've got a ticket to Monaco. Would you like to accompany me to the Red Cross ball? I said, yeah, I'll be there. I will definitely be there.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I've had a chance to do some really interesting things, and it's been a roller coaster, I have to say. You know, there's a lot of glamorous things, and then there's a downside to show business as well, and which I consider the writing business part of show business as well. So I tell some of the misfortunes, too, some of the crazy things. Like, some years it's just wonderful, and I've got hit books, and then other years it's really a different kind of circumstance, and I'm kind of scrambling for projects. But somehow I've come up with over 55 books, so I must be doing something right.
Yeah, no kidding. You said something about Cher's disco party and getting run over, what somebody with roller skates ran over you. Is that right?
What happened was, this was in 1979, and she had the hit Take Me Home, which was her big disco hit. So her record company, Casablanca Records, came up with this idea. Let's have a big roller disco party for Cher. So I went to the roller disco party, and someone had a few too many cocktails, let's say, and was skating behind me on the floor and started to lose their balance and grab my shoulders to balance themselves, thus knocking me down on the floor. When you fall on roller skates, you instinctively put your hands down behind you so you don't break your spine, and someone roller skated over my right forefinger. I looked down, and it was like twice the size that it should be, and I thought, oh, this is really going to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah, no kidding. So
then 2 days later, I was set to interview Cher at the Sherry Netherland Hotel, and I showed up with a splint on my hand, and she was just really consoling and sympathetic towards me, and very nice, very nice. Cher is wonderful. Anyone who's wondered what it's like to sit on a sofa next to Cher and talk about her colorful life. She's fabulous.
What would you think in the 55 books, and including the new one where you talk about a lot of your own experiences and paperback writer, what do you think people would be most surprised to learn, other than, I guess, some people who weren't aware of the stories about Diana Ross? What would people be most surprised to learn about rock and roll artists?
Well, some people are really gracious and down-to-earth and fun to be with, and other people in rock and roll are very into themselves. I interviewed Madonna right before Like a Virgin came out, and she was quite stuck on herself at that point. She really had a clear vision of where her career should go and really thought she deserved everything. And I have to say, she's done a wonderful job with her career of maintaining it, but she's not exactly fun to hang out with. It's all about her. Madonna, Madonna, Madonna.
Yeah, somehow that's not surprising to me either.
I'm sure that comes as no surprise.
Okay, you said this. You've done a lot of books, 55 titles, and one of the people that you wrote about, that you chronicled his life really, is Billy Joel. What's the scoop on Billy Joel? These beautiful women, he goes through all these different women. He seems like a tortured soul. Is he a tortured guy?
He is not a happy camper. He is just not happy. I mean, how could you be married to Christie Brinkley and still not find happiness? I mean,
that's
there's something wrong here. I've said to a lot of people who ask me advice about Billy Joel, I said, if he's driving, don't get in the car. He's had all these famous accidents, drinking problems, has an incredible body of music, an amazing career, and yet somehow he is not happy with it all.
Yeah,
you know, people think that money and fame buys happiness. He's kind of living proof that it doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, no kidding. The rock and roll stars of today, are they more accessible than the ones that you started out with, you know, the 70s and the parties? And do they have more layers of people, more entourages?
Well, they do for a while. You know, the careers that used to be have lasted so long. There's so many groups that are, you know, classic groups that are getting back together and touring. You have, you know, we've seen reunions of Cream and all these other people. And I think today's stars, their fame is so fleeting. And they do have entourages, and they are accessible to a large degree, but they're really kind of big celebrities for like a year or two. It doesn't really last as long as it used to. You don't have careers like the Beatles or, you know, Elvis Presley's that went on for three decades. And it's kind of sad because it's kind of more flash in the pan. I think that Madonna is someone who's really kind of, you know, taken it to a large degree and really made it last. And I think that Lady Gaga has that potential. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Another person I did a book with is Mickey Dolenz, The Monkees. I always loved The Monkees when I was mm-hmm. growing up. And mm-hmm. he's still doing things. He's just put out a new album of Carole King songs. And he appears on Broadway every once in a while. He was in Elton John's Aida on Broadway. So a lot of the stars from the 70s and 60s and even the 80s have more, I think, endurance and more of a classic show business career than a lot of the stars of today.
Yeah, you know, talk about flash in the pan. You know, we're such a celebrity-crazed country now. What do you think, as somebody who's written and followed celebrities and of all kinds, what do you think of, like, the TMZs and the paparazzi? Do you think they're too intrusive, or do you think, hey, that's what the public wants?
Well, it's kind of crazy. There's a restaurant out here called the Ivy. You always see, like, you know, TMZ mm-hmm. stationed outside the Ivy. And, you know, but it's, I think celebrities know, it's like, oh, I want everyone to see what I'm wearing or what I'm doing or who I'm with. Let's go to the Ivy. Let's book a table at the Ivy. You know, so it kind of makes it easy. I mean, nowadays, with all the reality shows and what have you, the Kardashians and the Jersey Shore kids and what have you, it's like, what are these people going to be doing in 10 years? Are we going to care 10 years from now?
Yes.
The world of celebrity goes so far beyond having some artistic talent to everyone just wants to see you, you know, fighting with your roommates at home. Like I was watching the Jersey Shore tonight and I went, oh my God.
I know, it's ridiculous. Mark Vego, it's been great. Paperback writer, pick it up. We'll be back with more on ATN.
If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous 1-year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to MagicYellowFlyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play the music. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
All right, we're heading to the finish line here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a great one this past weekend, had a chance to enjoy in some places the nice weather after some really crummy weather. I know all about it because our satellite facility was in, or is in, Dallas, Texas, and we were slammed with 6 tornadoes and all kinds of wicked rain and the remnants of a hurricane, and yet we've got another hurricane brewing. This time it's in the Atlantic. Hurricane Igor is near Cat 5. But see, when it's when it's a ways away and you're just looking at weather patterns, and then it's all about trying to determine, okay, so this storm is forming and what are the winds now? Well, over the weekend, in fact, into just an hour ago, it's pretty large and pretty dangerous. It's heading westward. So now it is capable of causing catastrophe. That's the bad news. But there's no land right now. There's no platforms, oil platforms in the way. It depends on what happens as Igor gets closer. So there's another tropical storm, Julia, that is over in the far eastern Atlantic. That will be the 10th storm of the hurricane season. Isn't it crazy how the hurricane season really starts in June, but it's toward the end of the summer and into September where the tough stuff really happens, at least lately, where you're seeing the tropical storms form and, you know, where's it going to land and what's going to happen. And traditionally it's that way. So this 10th storm, they're saying, you know, not sure, doesn't pose any kind of a threat right now to land because that's where we're at there, but that it's definitely got the winds that are starting to churn up 40, 50 miles an hour. It's a low, low level Cat 1. And could it develop into something else? It's looking like really it won't develop into anything else, but they, you know, they're not stupid. They're not going to say for sure because there is a chance like Igor might threaten Bermuda, but it's only a tiny, tiny, tiny opportunity of actually seeing that slam into the East Coast or even into Canada. But it's too early to make any definite predictions. I mean, that's the things with these storms that, you know, you can't wait till the last minute and you keep an eye on it and the weather gets pumped out there and it gets mentioned and you may hear about it in passing. But like for me, for example, here I am talking about it on America Tonight, never thinking really as it's skirting up Texas and it's far away from Dallas that it actually is going to be devastating in my own backyard. And it was luckily not on my street and not in my particular city, but pretty darn close where roofs were ripped off and floodwaters darn near killed a bunch of people. And it was nasty stuff. Some of the worst that they apparently have ever seen in Dallas. And certainly they never had six tornadoes touch down at one time. And I was talking to a camera man the other day from a local television station who told me that it was the strangest deal. You'd see the funnel start to form and it would look like it would be gaining strength and coming close to Dallas, the downtown, and then it would pop up and it would slam down someplace else. But that's a tornado. For everybody living in the Midwest, you certainly know that, how it's so unpredictable that one side of the street gets hit or one house gets hit and then it goes off and then you don't see it and then it lands someplace else. And it's very strange to hear about that. And luckily, not close enough to me, but not close enough to actually hit me. So we go from weather and the possibilities and what could be and who knows, but just the storms that are out there, the fact that we've got 10 on the board, to North Korea. You know, this whole situation with North Korea has been brewing for a while. And Kim Jong-il, you know, I wondered this before, how healthy is this guy? There's supposed to be this conference, but now it's been delayed because he's not feeling well. That something's wrong, but they're saying that they're trying to, hopefully he'll be healthy enough to, you know, that to not cancel everything, and it's looking like they're going to go forward with it. And this conference that they're having in North Korea, the Workers' Party Conference, it's being called, would bring together the state's ruling elite for the first time in 3 decades. And it's to pick new leadership and maybe anoint the heir finally, which would be his youngest son because his health is deteriorating and that's how they do it in North Korea. So the North and the South are at war technically, right? Because you only have that armistice that was signed back in 1953. So a lot of people are walking on eggshells, anxious, very anxious to know what changes are going to happen and who's going to command 1.2 million troops and another 7.7 in reserves, because that's what they have in North Korea. What happened was Kim Jong-il had a stroke a couple of years ago, and he wasn't in public for months until he turned the calendar over to January, February 2009. He looked very frail when he took a few trip, so that started the conversation about the sun taking over, and now I guess it's almost inevitable. So they don't want to cancel the meeting. He's not feeling well, but they want to start the meeting before September 15th and get everything in place. And the changes would include the son. Okay, he's the heir. Boom, it's official. That's the deal. You know, we've seen some of the worst tension that's happened between the South and the North in Korea since March. And why is that? And that's because we know, you know, the sinking of the South Korean warship, which there's no question independent investigators say can be linked to North Korea. And Seoul and Washington, D.C., are saying, you know, the U.S. is saying, yeah, we believe this. This is definitely North Korea. The signs are there. Then you've got Pyongyang, who are saying it's not true, and they're unwilling to return to nuclear disarmament talks, which it's all about that. In fact, they walked out and said the discussions were finished last time around. So the changing of the guard actually could be a good thing. Let's go to Tomas in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Yeah, it was hard dialing the phone today because my fingers got burned. I was burning so many Korans this Saturday. But you see that video of that guy who burned a couple pages over there in New York?
Yeah, I did see that.
Man, I tell you, you know, I just don't see how come there's not like 1,000 of those in every city. You know, one person. But anyway, I don't see the Muslim world reacting any differently. They're still stoning and burning Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's no question that no matter what, you hear from the imam in New York who says, well, now, geez, if we don't move ahead with our plans, it's just going to be a signal that this is going to be something that's going to rally more anti-American people and the extremists in the Muslim world. And the point is what you just said, is there's still stonings, there's still outrageous things happening, and nothing is, I don't think it would be different either way. Whether you can use it as propaganda, it's great to use it as propaganda. If I'm in the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, of course, why not fuel those fires, stoke those fires? But yeah, those things are going to happen anyway. You're right.
And I don't remember a whole bunch of people burning Korans before 9/11 either, you know?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an excuse. They just want to, you know, follow the orders from Saudi Arabia. That's where the money's coming from. And it's happened before in history where, you know, different people have different tribes have immigrated and or migrated or gone from one part of the European continent or this part of the continent to the other and taken over when there was a weaker tribe. And that's what's happening today, you know. But anyway, hey, we survived another 9/11.
You're right. We survived, and things turned out differently, I think, than a lot of people thought. Thanks, Tomas. If you have any thoughts on the burning of the Quran not happening or a few people doing it, as he said, somebody burned a few pages in New York, send them to me at americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with